Brother, I want to share with you guys tonight what God has been showing me. By the way, I just heard today that Biden is getting impeached on the 20th. Anyways, let's carry on. It gets pretty interesting.
Hey, man, bro, I love that part.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, guys. I know people ain't going to like this. I'm not a, this is not Democrat or Republican. God put a big burden on my heart the other night, and I just cried for hours for Donald J. Trump. I did. I said, Lord, I don't know what this is, but, and God told me just out of the blue, he said, that's my man for this hour. I don't care who likes it. I said, okay, Lord. I said, convincing them's another thing. I said, but anyways, God just kept giving me a burden to speak on TikTok about this matter, and some of these videos hit 11,000, 12,000 already. God is doing something in the nation. We can't pick or choose. This is God's nation. If it's one nation under God, then let him do as well. We can't pick and choose who we want in office, even though God made it where we could vote. And I think the reason why he done that is because he knew the White House would be corrupt. And it is. It's been corrupt for quite some time. And I think this is a wake-up call, and that's what God is telling me. This is a wake-up call to us as Christians. We sit back and let prayer get out of school. One woman took prayer out of school. Look what it made our school. Columbine High School, a child come in that school and got shot. My son even got shot by guns. They think guns are toys nowadays. Well, you know, if you raise a monkey in a monkey's barn, he's going to act like a monkey. And I guess what I'm saying is, I'm saying what God wants in this hour. You can argue with it. You can tell me I don't hear from God. I don't care what you say. I know I hear from God. I know his voice. Matter of fact, I know his voice so well, brother. I've seen prophecies that I've told has come to pass. And I can verify it. It's on the books. But I can tell you this. I don't act like I'm his voice. And I know God's told me that Trump was the man of this hour, and he's going to be. Well, people say, well, Jason, he's already impeached. Well, your eyes, if you don't be careful, your eyes can be very deceiving. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. And as long as we got a word from God, we're going to stand on it. Ken Clement in 2014, I don't know if you know Ken Clement. He was a prophet. He's done past and gone, and he told the same prophecy, that he would do two terms and two people would sit down. I think God wants the man that wants to run this country. And the reason why God's doing this, and this is what me and Jackie was talking about, the reason why God's doing this is because you got to understand something, guys. God knows what's ahead of us. He knows what's coming too. We don't know that. But he said, I'll reveal it to my prophets first. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. He has set and raising prophets in this land because this last move that he's going to do is powerful. And here's the dilemma about the whole thing. I'm not on the kick of Republican. I'm not on the kick of Democrats. I could care less. I'm on the kick with God. See, I'm not on the Republican side. I'm not on the Democrat side. I'm on God's side. And whatever God says goes. Because if this is his country, we need to invite him back in it. Don't you think so? In God we trust. I told a fellow today, he said, well, how you know God told you Trump is the man? I said, well, I'm going to tell you something. Look at the man's character. That's all I got to say. I don't care about money. See, we're trading money, and that's another thing God told me too. We're trading money. We all like money. That's great. God wants to bless us. But they're trying to buy us out for money. I don't need nobody's money. All I need is the favor of God, and I have money. I don't need nobody's money. I don't need nobody's tithes. All I need is God winking his eye at me and saying, son, I'm well pleased with you. That's all I need. And I guess what I'm saying tonight is God is rearranging some things. You might see it going one way, but God's fixing to rearrange some furniture. Trust me. I know what's ahead of us. And you will see this. And when you see it, you can give me a call and say, Jason, you was right. You'll see. Because God is very pleased with what's going on. Now, all the right stuff, didn't agree with none of it. None of it. But I can tell you this. Even though the people done wrong, you can't lay it on Donald Trump. But I'm not getting on here to fight politics. I'm not really. I'm not into politics. But I am into God. And I know what God's wanting this hour. It's not what Jason wants. It's what God wants. It's not what Jackie wants. It's what God wants. And if God don't get what he wants, then we in trouble. And if we don't live a life pleasing to God, we definitely in trouble. And I don't think God likes killing young babies. I don't think he likes that. I don't think he approves of that. I really don't. And I'm not judgmental to anyone, but all I can say is what God wants. And if we're going to take this nation back, we need to fight, not with our fist. We need to get on our knees. That's what we need to fight with. Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle spirits that's in the White House right now. Yeah, there's a witch in the White House. Sure is. God revealed that to us, me and Jackie, this week. There is a witch in the White House, and she's controlling the Senate. And she's going down. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to say any names. I'm not going to judge, because God loves her just as well as everybody else. But we must bring these spirits down out of this White House, or we're going to be in bad trouble. What we're doing tonight, we're not going to be able to do. You're not going to be able to go to church. They're going to take your rights. It's getting serious, guys. It's not a joke anymore. We as Christians just sit back and let all this stuff go, but we need to stand up and be bold and stand up for what we believe. So what if they throw stones at us? I mean, are y'all scared to be persecuted? I'm not. I'm ready. I don't care. I've been persecuted so many times, it ain't even funny. I don't care what nobody thinks about me. All I care about when I lay down and God said, son, I'm proud of you, that's all I care about. I don't need no opinions. Because everybody's got an opinion. But all I know, Jackie, is one thing. My president, Donald J. Trump, has got the same boldness I got, brother. And I like it. Why? Because I know God gave it to him. Just as well as God gave it to me, brother. Sometimes you got to be bold. You got to stand up for what you believe in. You got to stand up for your family. You got to let people know, listen, this is what I believe and this is what I stand on, and I'm not trading it for nothing. You'll just have to crucify me upside down, brother. I'm willing to die for this gospel. And you know what, brother? A lot of people, I can honestly say this. If we actually got persecuted and somebody walked up to your door and said, Jackie, you know what? I'm going to shoot you if you don't renounce God. Brother, they'd just have to shoot me. They'd just have to point blank shoot me. We need to get serious with this Christianity stuff. We don't need to play around anymore. We need to stand. If you love God, show you love God.
Amen, brother. Amen.
But so many times, Brother Jackie, over the years, I've watched the church just crawl in a hole and, well, we're going to pray. Well, pray. That's good. But they scared to say anything. Well, I might hurt their feelings. So what? So what? You're going to let this stuff come in. I'm so sick and tired of Christianity being a weakness. It's not. We're not weak. This country was founded on God, and I'll be by George, you're going to take it. No, 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 no. This is God's country, and it will remain God's country. And like I say, I'm not getting on politics tonight. Trust me. Brother Jackie, we didn't get on politics. This gets on my nerves with politics. Whoever thought of the Democrats and Republicans anyways?
No, we didn't,
Brother. It's not a Democrat and Republic deal. It's a God deal. It's evil versus good. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And if we let evil trample over this land, guys, we just, I mean, we've already let a lot of stuff in. It's just gotten worse. And I think Donald Trump stood up and let this world know, listen, it's a wake-up call to Christians. We got the power to change this nation. And we sit back and we don't pray halftime. We don't even hardly come to the meetings halftime. And some of you just don't even pay your tithes half the time. Guys, wake up. It's a wake-up call. That's what I say, brother. It's a wake-up call. Listen, quit playing. Brother, we've been on a playground. We've been on a playground. That's what we've been on recess. Recess is over.
Yeah.
Recess is over. And I was going down the road today, brother, a while ago, and God just told me tonight I'm going to do something on this line that's going to blow y'all's mind. It's going to blow your mind. Brother, God wants to become real to us. I told Penny a while ago, I said, Penny, you want to see God? She said, sure. I said, well, get ready. Go ahead, brother.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. Okay. Woo, that was perfect. Mm. I'm out of card after that. My sister, they just went out and came in. She just gave me a hamburger, and I was feeding my face. I'm like Brother Jason. Brother, why don't you just finish a minute? There's something going on here in the house. Just take it up just for a minute, brother.
Yeah, I will, brother. But I also want to say this, guys. We as Christians, we don't share our faith either. That's another thing I'm seeing. And I've been guilty myself. And I think this is a wake-up call more than it is anything. We're not sharing our faith. We're not telling people about Jesus Christ, what he done on the cross. Yes, some of us is. I'm not saying all. I'm not speaking for all. But I see a lot of Christians not sharing their faith. I think Billy Graham tried to open our eyes when Billy Graham was here. Billy Graham was an evangelist, but one thing he did share is his faith. It's known. He's the biggest in the world that shared his faith. Well, I'm not a big Billy Graham, Jason. You don't have to be that. You got to understand, God saved you for a purpose. He didn't save you to sit on a stool. He didn't save you just to come on here in these conference calls, which is nice for fellowship. I enjoy the fellowship. But God didn't save you for that either. God saved you to go win the lost. Go win people that don't know Jesus. Well, I can't go around them. If I go around them, I'll become just like them. Well, you're pretty weak in the faith. You need to pray God for strength. If you're that easy enticed by sin, then your relationship with God is kind of weak. And I know a lot of people are like that. Well, like I say, if you're weak in areas, no, you don't need to be over there. I mean, if God delivered you from alcohol, you don't need to be around a bunch of drunks if you're weak in that area. I agree. But it comes to a point, you're going to have to go back to them somewhere or another to drag them into the fold and tell them what God has done for you. We take our Christianity so weak. We take it like a recess. It's obligation. It's not an obligation. It's a task. It's a work. It's a mandate. This is not an obligation that we fellowship. It's a mandate. It's more important than you going to the hospital tomorrow and going to look at the doctor looking at your brain. You know that? That's more important than that. And that's why I take ministry serious. I don't play around with ministry. I used to, but I found out that it was more important than my life itself. And that's what a place that we all need to get to. How serious is this? It's so serious that we could wake up the next morning and they tell us to stay in our home and we cannot get out of our home and don't dare share the gospel, because if you do, we're going to kill you. And that's how bad it's fixing to get if we don't do something about it now. Now, we go down to the White House and beat people up? No. We need to pray. I'm talking about serious prayer. Some of us can fast a meal. Some of us can fast a meal. Some of us can to get together. I've called two intercessors on our ministry today, and I told them, I said, listen, I don't know what your problem is with me. I don't know what your problem is in the ministry I'm in, but we need to get over that stuff. Do you know that we're in a life-death situation? We need your prayers. If you're an intercessor, you need to be praying. We need to be praying like we never have before. And some of us, if God's called us to pray, it's time to pray. We're so busy with all these other obstacles in our life that we're not busy enough to get down and pray God's will for this nation. Because I'm going to tell you something. The devil would love to take this country over. I promise you that. He would love to take this country and put it in bondage. That's what God has been showing me. He would love to take this country and put it in bondage. What I mean by bondage? I'm saying, you think you got freedom now? There's some countries that can't even mention the name Jesus or they will be killed. Yeah, I can take you to them countries. China right now is killing pastors. Killing them. Because they stand for Christ. Other countries, overseas, you can't even talk unless you be spoken to. And our freedom as voting for a pastor, voting for a president? No. Don't happen in their country. Russia's president's been their president for years. They don't ever change because they don't have no authority of nothing. The president rules them. And that is in Russia. Guys, we can't afford to lose our country. People's died, and this is what God has put on my heart. People's died for this country. People has shed blood for your freedom today. And yeah, everybody said, well, Jason, God don't want us to fight. Well, let me tell you something. My Bible says in the Old Testament, they fought to bloodshed because of freedom. If it takes that, so be it. But let me tell you something. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring a sword, but division. Oh, Jesus come to bring division? Yes, he did, between good and evil. That divides us. When you're gonna follow the devil and I follow God, me and you're divided. That's how we become divided. How can you say you love God but love the devil at the same time? That don't work. You can't love evil and love good. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. That's what God is saying. You gotta see who you choose tonight. You got to quit playing the fence. Get off the fiddle. And that's what he's telling us tonight. Listen, guys, this ain't no playground no more. Recess is over. It's over. We've played around with the church. The church has even got corrupt. There's no bread in the house of God no more. Nobody's telling the truth. Nobody's standing up for the truth. Nobody's being bold no more like they used to. You know, there's a song me and Christy was talking about, brother, today. Y'all probably know him. I'm Not For Sale. He's a Christian gospel singer. Michael Combs. He's a Christian gospel singer. He wrote a song that says, "I'm not for sale." And the song goes a little bit like this. He says, "Who can tell me? We used to sing in the choir, but we've let a lot of world come in the church. We've allowed this. We've allowed the devil to come in these churches and be worldly. I'm sorry, but you don't need disco lights to draw people to church. You don't need disco lights to draw people to church. You don't need to dress casual to, well, maybe if I dress casual, I can draw people in some of the church. No, you need a touch from the Holy Ghost to draw people to God. You need a good old Holy Ghost filled meeting to draw people to God. Whatever happened to say what's wrong and what's wrong, what's wrong, what's wrong. What's right is right." I mean, I remember them meetings back in the old days where you went into church and conviction hit you right in the door. You don't see that no more. You don't see churches on fire for God anymore either. All you seeing was disco lights. I'm sorry, but I'm sorry, God didn't make it a church, a club. You ain't going to draw nobody in. And even if you do draw people in, they're not going to change. Because they need to see God themselves. They need to have a road of experience. They need to have a Paul experience, a road to Damascus, where Paul saw the Lord. That's what they need. Brother, they need the Holy Ghost to hit them so hard that they can't sleep at night for telling that white lie they told today. That's what they need. Or you need a touch from God so much that you can't sleep because you've done somebody wrong. Whatever happened to them days? No, the church has got so judgmental that they can't even see what God is saying. And it's a shame. These people are running around, brother, all day long. They're running around trying to get a word from God with all these prophets. Well, you know what? God can talk to you just as well as he can talk to us. But we can't hear God because we got our mind on all kind of things.
Amen, Brother Jason.
Amen. Go ahead,
brother. Amen, brother. Oh, brother, that was a powerful word. That was a powerful word. I want to say in three words, we had hell here in this temple. We just had hell again. But you know why? Because the devil, when the Holy Ghost turns on the demon, the devil tries to destroy it at the same time. But he can't win the battle. He can't win the battle. I feel this in the spirit. I'm going to go with what I feel in the spirit. Right now, God is moving in the earth, and he's moving through many, many different avenues. What I say, many avenues. He's moving through different people. And I want to share with you what Brother Jason is talking about. Because we're on that subject a little bit. I told Brother Jason about it the other night, and they spend on it to the day. The president has a dossier that spins back to the last 4 years. And when he lets it go, it's going to blow the fan off of Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, Obama, the Bidens, every one of these. And see what they try to do, they try to sabotage since the day the president came into the office. They've been trying to sabotage him. Well, this is going to blow the lid. And let me say something else. How can you how can you impeach a private citizen when he comes to leave office? You can't do it. See, one of the reasons that's for is to do one while he's in office, not when he's out of office. See what I'm saying? It's not even constitutional. It's not even constitutional. You see, they're overstepping their bounds. Open stepping their bounds. But see, That's what people do. See, the other day when I said that vision, when God took me into that vision, I'm sharing it now again. God took me in a vision and took me out of my body and took me to Washington, D.C. When he took me to Washington, D.C., he showed me the whole situation. And he took me into Pelosi's room where she is at. And God showed me a spirit. And that main spirit is Beelzebub. When the scripture talks about Beelzebub, the prince of devils, that's what she has. The prince of devils in her. That's why. See, whoever who's got more power, the devil sends it to him. But see, he wants to bring chaos. Why do I say chaos? See, that riot, it wasn't of Trump. But, Ativa was, they paired this, and they know that it was going to come. And see, anytime something happens, the left comes in there, and they do their job. But what I'm saying right now, let's put the hand on God and leave everything into the hand of God tonight. See, I know we're kind of off track tonight, but remember this, God is in the midst of us. God is in the midst of this nation. God is in the midst of us. And God is saying to this nation, I haven't left you or forsake you. You might have left me, but I haven't left you. My hand is up still upon you. Because see, ever who blesses Israel, God will bless them. And see, God is blessing this nation because of the forefathers, the promises that he made with them. See, God does not leave. See, people says that they left. And you remember maybe a month or two ago, we were on here and we said God was bringing a judgment. God's judgment is going forth, brothers and sisters. We're going to actually see it come to pass. And when we see it come to pass, then you can say, that was God. Think of it this way. When the children of Israel came out of the land of Goshen, but they came out with all the riches of the land of that time. But when they got to the River Jordan, or I don't say river, but the River Jordan. Think of this. They was against the river, and Pharaoh was right behind them. But see, when Moses held up his hand, see, that is authority being held up. And they crossed on dry land. See, that's what we're doing right now. We're crossing on dry land. We're doing a crossover. And the devil is right behind us. And look at it this way. The hand of Moses is being raised up in this nation. His hand is being raised up. That's God's hand. And see, you remember this. When the last one stepped out of the water, the water came back and it took care of Pharaoh. See, the water is going to take care of Pharaoh. He's going to be drowned in his own sin, his own doing. And remember this, on the shores of that sea, when they got on the shores, Miriam danced, sung the song of Moses and the Red Sea. See, that's what we're doing. We're singing the song of Moses and the Red Sea. Because, see, we're crossing over. But we're crossing over with the mother of God. Anybody want to share? The floor is open. Anyway.
Well, I have a testimony or a praise report tonight. We were having the tag. We're in a rental car, and the tag was about ready to come off, and there's like 40 mile per hour wind out there, and that's the reason the tag was starting to come off. And so We called AAA. We called the rental car company. We called Kansas police to see if we could get any help or what they would suggest that we would do. And, you know, nobody had any suggestions. And AAA wasn't going to come because of the tag or anything. So we're starting to say, Jesus, help us. And we go. We're traveling about 40 miles an hour, thinking we'll get off at the next exit, hoping it will stay on. And there's this truck. Hello. There's this truck on the side, and he stops us, and he says, "Your tag is about ready to fall off." And we said, "We know it." He says, "Well, I've got some tape, and I'll tape it back on for you." So there happened to be a rest area just ahead of us, so we went to the rest area, and we were able to witness. We said, you know, we were just praying to Jesus for someone to help, and you came along, so praise God for you. And he just gave us a big smile. We were going to pay him a little something. He didn't want it, but we were able to share Jesus. So that's my testimony today, that, you know, even when things look like they're, you know, looks like they're going in the wrong direction, God shows up in a big way. So we can say that not only for ourselves, but for our country also.
Amen. Sister Deborah, I mean, Sister Donna, you have anything you want to share tonight, hon?
I don't know. I just kind of been. I just have this peace that's overcome me, and I can't explain it, but it's just a peace. And my family is kind of all in shambles over the nation and what's going on, and all the world's going to end. But I was able to share the Lord with my sister, which my sister had been married twice before to two different women. And this last year, she's been going to a church, and she got a divorcement or something like that. But she's dating men now. But she's really, the Lord's really calling on her. The Lord's really working on her. And, you know, and I was able to talk with my mom and tell my mom, because my mom had blamed me for her nervous breakdowns over the year. But, hey, she had 8 kids, not one. So I was able to talk with my mom and get some things off my chest, and she got things off her chest, and I don't know, I have a peace with it now. So I'm just not, you know, I'm just not going to let it bother me. Lord, amen. God.
Everyone here.
Amen, honey. Amen. Well, brother, you have anything else on your heart, Brother Jason?
Yeah, brother, I know this is off the wall, off the character, but, you know, I'm going to say it anyways. I'm just an oddball anyway, so.
We know that, brother.
Oh, yeah, brother. Hey, I'm like, hey, I'm John the Baptist. They look at me like, oh, my Lord, who in the world's that? I don't try to please man. I don't try to please man, brother. I spent all my life trying to do it, never could. So I'm just learning to please God. That's all I care. But I have been, if anybody can to relate to this, and I know it's off the chart, but I've been studying on salt. And the reason I've been studying on salt, brother, because God spoke to me today to salt my land here in this house. He said, I want you to put salt on the land of your house, on your land where the house is. And I said, Lord, why salt? And that's what I've been studying on is salt. What does the Bible say? And maybe one of you know can give me some advice. I don't know. But I am going to start studying on salt because I want to find out why God told me to put salt on my land. I don't know, brother. Something.
salt is a preservative. So maybe it's to preserve the land. I don't know. And then there used to be an offering called a salt offering, but I don't know too much about that.
Okay.
But you could look up the salt offering and see what it says about it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he had spoke to me about putting salt on my land, and also I was telling you, brother, he been on me about anointing my whole house and everything in it, the furniture and all.
Yeah.
I just want to be obedient to the Lord, brother. That's all. I mean, if I seem crazy, I am crazy. I'm crazy in love with him, you know?
Hey, brother, think of this. We're radicals for Christ.
Yeah. I don't know, brother. I guess we can get so deep in God that we can fall so in love with him that nothing else really matters, you know? Well, I mean, I know you got to love people. You got to be earthly good too. You can't be so spiritual minded no earthly good, but you know, it gets to a point, brother, that God becomes everything in of your life, his word. And I have been in the word here lately. I've been in a lot of word, and I've been actually reading about where Moses and Aaron was with the children of Israel. And God told them, he said, listen, if they're not going to go the way y'all going, then y'all going to have to separate yourself. See, brother, and that's what I was talking about earlier about evil and good. If people want to play around with God so much, God's going to eventually separate you from people that are just going to play with God.
Come on, brother.
I mean, God would long for all of us to get along, brother. He would long for all of us just to come in one mind and one accord. But some people just, you know, the children of Israel, he dealt with the children of Israel 40 years, and they kept complaining. And I do want to say this because this is hilarious. They kept complaining about meat. Lord,
come on in.
Well, we want some meat, Lord. We want some meat. And so God, they complained so much that God said, I'm going to give you meat. And he gave them so much meat, they ate until they were sick. I said, Lord, you mean you can send somebody a blessing and it'll choke their own self with their own blessing? He said, yes, it will. Because it was the attitude that the children of Israel had that I couldn't stand. So really, basically, what I'm saying is, in a nutshell, God don't like the attitude of people. It's the attitude that gets them nowhere. It's kind of like when our kids was little, you know, you went and bought them something and they have such an attitude with it. I'm like, look, give me that toy back. You're not getting the toy till you lose the attitude. And I think a lot of times as Christians, God looks at us the same way. Look, if you show me a good attitude, I'll show you a good blessing. It's our attitude. And I got a friend that I talk to every day. This boy, he complains about the sun don't shine. I just finally told him, I said, brother, I said, one of these days, God's going to give you everything you ask for, and you're going to choke on your own blessing. I mean, you know, I just thank God that he gave me life. I just thank God that I got shorts on and clothes on my feet and shoes on my feet, and I ate a good supper tonight, brother. You know, I'm grateful. And if he gives me a mansion on a hilltop, praise God. If he don't, so be it. I'm still thankful.
Amen, brother.
And brother, be honest with you, I really don't want a mansion because I don't feel like cleaning the thing.
Hurry some meat.
You know what I'm saying? I don't desire a big house. Now, most people want all that luxury stuff, and that's great. Maybe that's your cup of tea, but it's not mine. I'm happy what God blessed me with. I've always wanted a log cabin. He gave me a log cabin. I've always wanted a truck. He gave me a truck. I've always wanted to live by a river. Well, I live by a river. So I'm satisfied. But if I didn't have it, I'd still praise him anyways.
Amen.
You know, I have, brother. I was telling Sister Christy. I said, Sister Christy, let me tell you something. A lot of people don't live this blessed life that they call blessed. In Deuteronomy 27, you'll be blessed coming in, blessed coming out, blessed going in, blessed going out. They don't really live that life, brother. Now, I'm going to tell you why they don't. Because they're not listening to God in their finances. Uh-oh, I ain't going there tonight, Lord. Here we go. Why does he always leave me to finance?
I hear you, brother.
I get tired of hearing it myself. I said, Lord, can we change the subject? He said, no, we can't. We can't change the subject. But, brother, hey. Listen, I preached at a church one time. This is no lie. No lie. I preached at a church for 2 whole weeks in a revival. 2 whole weeks. About the same stuff, finances. They asked me, said, what are you preaching now? I said, about giving and receiving. Wow. Come find out, brother, the whole church didn't ever give a penny to the church. He was fixing to get his lights turned off in the church. Come back to that church 3 weeks later. 3 weeks later after the 2 week revival, and he shook my hand. He said, brother, I appreciate your obedience to God. I said, why? He said, well, we're building a gym next week. He said, a lot of people that was sitting in my church was millionaires, and they wasn't giving their tithes, and they started giving their tithes, and this truly happened. Now, he said, we're building a gym for the kids so we can start touching the youth. I said, praise God. Praise God. But, brother.
Obedience,
and that's the key. And that's what I told Sister Christy today. I said, Sister Christy, you got to be obedient to God. You think I always had a nice truck? You think I always lived in a log cabin by the creek that cost $150,000 for a home? Well, that's cheap up here because a lot of these homes cost $500,000. Some even more, $1 million home. We got $1 million log cabins up here, you know, in the mountains, but. Brother, that ain't what I'm talking about here. What I'm talking about here, I wasn't always living like this, brother. You got to understand, God found me, brother. I was in a house that you walk through the front door and fall out the next door. I used to live in a house where mushrooms grow through the ceiling. I ain't joking. I used to live in a house, brother. When you open the refrigerator door, the whole refrigerator fall off in the floor.
Pretty bad, bro.
See, I don't forget where I come from, brother. I don't forget where I come from. Actually, matter of fact, the house I lived in, there was grass growing on top of the roof. And I told the wife, I said, well, we must mow the grass. And I took my lawnmower and put it on the roof.
Oh, my Lord, brother.
Hey, that was pretty bad. But people look at me that's now, brother, and said, how in the world did you get that pretty house you're in right now? I said, hey, I ain't always been here. I said, God took me from the gutter to the US motor. He took me from the gutter, brother, to the palace. And my wife?
Oh, yes, he did.
My wife, brother, she had a bag of clothes. That's all she had. She was homeless. She was out on the streets. She was digging through garbage cans.
That's pretty bad, brother.
Brother, I'm going to tell you something. God's took this old boy far, and I don't forget where I come from, but I know what I've done to get me here today, and it's called obedience.
Amen.
It's called giving God what's God's. It's called doing what God tells me to do with his money. Brother, I know. And see, the problem is people are giving their money to places God ain't even told them to give. And that's a lesson I had to learn too for 10 years. I was given to a church and I never got blessed. Never. Until one day my brother walks in and he gives $50 to the offering plate and he said, watch how God moves. The next day he got a $30,000 job. He was a construction owner. He owned his own company. I got so jealous of him, brother. And that night I went home, I saw Mike Murdoch on the screen and I said, Lord, I'm sick of this giving. This don't work. He said, yes, it does. I said, well, Lord, explain to me why my brother don't never give, but he gives $50 to the offering plate. In 10 years, I've been giving my tithes to that church down there, and you hadn't blessed me none. He said, your brother's obedient. You're not. I said, well, Lord, I'm giving tithes to the church. I am obedient. He said, yeah, but I never told you to give to that church. I never told you to give to that ministry. I've been telling you for the last 10 years to start giving to your ministry, and you disobeyed me. Brother, when I started giving for my own ministry and I said, Lord, that's selfish. I can't do that. He said, who said that was your ministry? It ain't your ministry. It's mine. And all of a sudden, when I started giving to my ministry, I'm telling you, today is my witness. I promise y'all. I can just think of something and it'll happen. That's what the Bible says. He knows how to do it exceedingly and abundantly above we can ask or think. You can get to a place in God where all you have to do is just think and it's there. God gives it to you when you think. Why? What am I saying? It ain't my tithes that I'm obedient in, brother. It's because I'm doing what thus saith the Lord. See, you can be doing a good thing but doing it wrong. You can be doing what you think is right, but you're still being disobedient. See, Deuteronomy 27 said, the obedience shall inherit the land. I told Sister Christy today, I said, Sister Christy, this is how you know you're walking in the favor of God. The evidence will be there. Come on, somebody. The evidence will be there. Mm-hmm. What is the evidence? The evidence means that your banking account should be running over. The evidence is, brother, that every time you think of something, it'll be there. Every time you walk out the door, God said, I got to bless him today. He's walking where I want him to walk. God will start telling you to get to places that you're fighting about it. I ain't giving that ministry. They ain't doing nothing. They ain't doing a darn thing. Who are you to tell God what to do with his money? See, that's where you're being disobedient. I just had to share that, brother. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know me, brother. I'm going to obey God tonight. I don't care if we have 40 people on here. I don't care if we have two. But I'm telling you, brother, I told Christy today, brother, I said, Christy, if you will listen to God and don't be giving it to the poor, man, people flip me out with this stuff. Well, I give my tithes to the poor. That ain't where your tithes belong. It don't belong to the poor. Jesus said the poor will be with you always. The Son of Man won't. I'm not knocking feeding the poor, guys. We get so concentrating on doing something God ain't even told us to do. God said give it in the storehouse. What's a storehouse? Brother, it's a place where, like we're doing tonight, we are building people for the kingdom of God. We are getting you prepared for heaven. We are getting you prepared for heaven. On, that's where your tithes belong. Well, I don't know where my tithes belong. And I told Christy, I said, well, Christy, have you ever asked God where he wants his tithes? You know, you have not because you asked not. Don't make the same mistake I did for 10 years. God let me go 10 years of suffering, brother, and all I had to do was ask him. And I said, Lord, why'd you let me go 10 years? He said, son, you didn't ever ask me. Wow. See, brother, we had brother, not because we asked not. Go ahead, bro.
I know what you're saying. Amen, brother. No, Brother Jason, since you got on that right there, we sold our house there in West Palm Beach. It was a miracle house. It was a miracle house. We bought it for $44,800. After 6 years, we sold it for $128,000 after 6 years. That's double your money, brother. And it was in the worstest area that you could live in. You know what I'm saying, Brother Jason?
Oh, yeah.
Then, the worst thing about it was, now don't get me wrong, that was